The English language can be somewhat negative, at least when it comes to prefixes. According to an online source, the prefix that is used more than any other in the English language is the prefix un. And what does un mean? Not. Poor un. It's always showing up, but it's not always very welcome. As soon as un cozies up to another word, it flips it into complete reverse. Happy becomes unhappy, pleasant becomes unpleasant, healthy becomes unhealthy. And at the beginning of a new period of time, such as a school year, it's a word that can easily come to mind, a prefix. What if I will not be all that? What if I will be somewhat unsuccessful in connection with my courses? What if I find out that I'm unpopular with some of my classmates? What if some of my goals for the years go unfulfilled? Such unrelated thoughts are not uncommon. And there's a reason why we have so many uns in our lives. There's a reason why so many negative things can come our way. And the reason is found in the fact that we are completely unrighteous. We are un all sorts of things that God says that we are to be. For starters, we are at times unkind, even though the Lord specifically says that we should be kind one to another. All too often we are unloving, even though we are directed to love one another fervently from the heart. We daily think, say, and do things that are unholy, even though God's commandments are not difficult to understand. We are frequently unthankful and ungrateful, even maybe unmindful of the incredible blessings that the Lord pours out upon us. How often aren't we unhelpful to a neighbor, even though a variety of needs come into view? In short, we are ungodly. Scripture refers to all human beings in their natural condition as the unrighteous. It points out that every single one of us is sinful by nature and that we sin every day. The presence of sin means that there are going to be thorns and thistles as well as roses and rainbows. It means that there will also be death and decay, not just birth and growth. It doesn't always mean that there is a direct correlation or link between some sin that we've committed and some negative thing that comes our way, but the presence of sin in our lives does mean that we are completely undeserving of anything positive or good, and that there will be hardships. Left to ourselves, therefore, we would be without any basis for confidence whatsoever stepping into something new like a new year. Sinful piles of dust such as ourselves simply cannot generate success on our own. The only reason we ever do succeed or ever do experience something good is the fact that there is one who is unlike us in the area of righteousness, our loving Lord. As a matter of fact, when the prefix un is used in connection with God's nature and activities, it actually takes on a very positive tone. A few weeks ago during one of the church services, I was struck by one of the words that was used in one of the sections of the liturgy. I had seen it before, heard it before, used it before, but it caught my eye in a particularly striking way that day. It's found in the section where we are asking God for his forgiveness based on his love. And how is his love described? As a wonderfully un-something. Have mercy on us, it says, according to your unfailing love. Unlike other love found anywhere else, God's love is unfailing. It cannot, does not, will not fail, ever. And the fact that God's love is unfailing is one of the great declarations of Scripture. Through the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord said, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you." Without fail, the Lord's love for us is ongoing and active. love that can fail, would not have sent one's only son to experience hell for one's enemies. But God sent Jesus. Love that can fail would not have made its way all the way to the cross to shed atoning blood for others. But Jesus never veered from the path to Calvary. Love that can fail would not have kept the Holy Spirit's work of deliverance going for thousands of years without interruption. But the Holy Spirit continues to enter and rescue hearts even now in these last days. The Lord's love is unfailing. It's everlasting. And equally important is the fact that His love is unconditional. If the Lord's love for us had conditions attached to it, the fact that it is unfailing would not be all that reassuring. If the Lord's love for us were based on something that we did or didn't do, or on something that we were or were not, we could never be sure that His unfailing love were directed toward us. But as we heard yesterday, the Bible makes clear that the Lord's love is not conditioned by anything in or about us, thankfully. Hear again that wonderful section from Romans. When we were still without strength, nothing in us that would prompt the Lord to love us, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man one will die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't wait to rescue us until we achieved something or advanced somehow or became more likable in some way. God saw my wretched state before the world's foundation, the hymn says, and mindful of His mercies great, not of anything in me or in us, He planned for my salvation. God's love is truly unconventional in that it is unconditional. Human love is not. We so often love if, ... We so often love when, ... God simply loves. The knowledge that His love for us is unfailing and unconditional is all that we need to be able to enter something new like a new year with confidence. Now that our loving Lord has removed the guilt of our sin, the way is clear for God to pour out abundant blessings in this life and especially in the life to come. His love for us means we can go through our earthly days unmoved. And when our earthly journey is complete, His love means that we will receive an inheritance which Peter describes as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. The prefix un, it's not so bad after all. When attached to God, it actually becomes quite positive, for it helps communicate the greatness of His love. Even though we are undeserving and unrighteous, God's love is unfailing and unconditional, meaning that because of Christ, we will receive from Him great and good things, both temporal and eternal. The Lord invites us, therefore, to begin a new day, week, or year with the assurance of His love, and in that knowledge, to move ahead undaunted, unconcerned, and unafraid. A hymn which speaks of His love is 760, stanzas 1, 2, and 4 this morning. Hymn 760, 1, 2, and 4.